and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us on the line is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, how have you been?
I'm doing well in Vancouver on a beautiful sunny day.
Okay, sunshine in Vancouver in the summertime. Boy, oh boy, I don't think it gets much better than that. Certainly, the resource sector of the markets, Mickey, in search of some sunshine. It has been a cloudy, long stretch for the metals producers, the oil companies, the energy producers. This pullback that we've seen, Mickey, in resources over the past, I don't know how long now. It's gone on for quite some time. It's been pretty well right across the board, taking everybody lower, hasn't it?
Well, it certainly has. All industrial metals and precious metals are down, with a couple of exceptions. 3 to 6 year lows. And if you think about it, that goes all the way back to the global economic crisis for some of these metals, for instance, copper. The only metals that really aren't hitting lows right now is zinc, and I don't think anybody gets really excited about the zinc market. It's a fairly minor market and doesn't ever seem to have much direction up or down. And then uranium is up 30% from its lows last year, but it's an energy metal, and it has different supply-demand fundamentals. Does not trade in the world market, so I think we'll ignore that one.
Okay, when you look at the metals that are really struggling, Mickey, and that are in a pretty deep hole, is there, and when you consider the forces that have been driving prices lower, is there a common thread that's running throughout all of them, do you think?
Well, there certainly are some common threads that lead to low prices. Supply-demand fundamentals obviously are not good right now. The Chinese growth profile is slowing. Most of the BRICS, and notice I did not say BRICS, the BRICS are following suit. We have continual problems in the Eurozone, which has affected that basket of countries' economies. And then once again, we have relatively tepid growth in the U.S., but really, the thing that's really knocked metals down is the U.S. dollar, which arguably is the best of all evils, but the strong U.S. dollar has really skewed metal prices. In the last 13 months, the U.S. dollar is up 21% in the dollar index, DXY, and let's go through some of the major metals. Gold down 17%. Not much. It's actually outperformed in U.S. dollars. Silver down 28%. Platinum 34%. Palladium 30%. And the aforementioned copper down 26%. So it's not only the strong U.S. dollar, but the the majority of all these declines can be directly attributed to that fact. We have negative interest rates and essentially a deflationary economy.
When you
said, I think one of the real controlling factors, and it's a natural resource, but oil's down 57% over this period of time.
And, oh, man.
That is, in my mind, the real controlling factor for the demise in all commodities. The world runs on black gold, and when oil's not doing well, oftentimes the other commodities do not do well. And we have an oil glut, but by the same token, world demand was up a million barrels a day in July based on the fact that oil prices are low.
Yeah, and when we get back to that U.S. dollar, Mickey, it's really hard to see anything on the horizon, at least from my vantage point, that would indicate weakness in the U.S. dollar is on the way. I mean, it appears to be on pretty solid footing compared to the rest of the currencies out there. And we got the Fed, obviously, poised to hike interest rates, whether or not it happens this fall or early next year. We know that the Fed will be pushing rates higher sooner or later.
Well, that's true, but how much are they going to push them higher? Your point is well taken on. They're are no obvious catalysts in the near-term horizon for the U.S. dollar becoming weaker. But that said, you know, these interest rate hikes, you know, in the grand scheme of things, what's a quarter of a percent or a half a percent really have to do? It may give a slight uptick in the economy, but, you know, this... You know, we're in a deflationary event right now, and even if, you know, we went with a series of quarter percent rate hikes, we're still going to have real negative interest rates, and so that's not very bullish to me.
Do you think that gold has lost its lure as a safe haven during times of crisis? Is that come out through this downturn as well, do you think?
Well, I think certainly so. You know, here's an anecdote that I think that will tell you how long has it been since you've seen Ed McMahon or Glenn Beck pushing cash for gold on infomercials.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the investing public kind of unfortunately has a sheeple mentality. The herd comes in, the herd comes out, and you know, the U.S. stock market had tremendous growth for a while. It's stagnated now, but you know, back in the day in 2008, 2009, even when gold started really rising and eventually approached $1,900 in, if memory serves, September 2011, it was on everybody's mind because people were afraid. They were afraid the world's economy was going to collapse, and so they went to the safe haven. You know, I'm a contrarian. I still want to have a significant amount of my net worth in gold, and I continue to buy gold. I look at it as an opportunity, but general investing public doesn't think that way.
You've said before, Mickey, that the cure for lower prices is lower prices. For some of these commodities, how much lower do you think they can go before we're relatively safe in calling a bottom here, because this has been such a long, painful ride lower. Crude oil, you got to scratch your head and think, my goodness, 40 some bucks a barrel. You know, soon, you know, as we move forward, the demand for oil will continue to increase. So one would think that 10 years from now, you'd look back at oil at where it's trading at today, and you'd think this was a bargain basement price.
Oh, I think it is a bargain basement price at this point. You know, a significant amount of oil production is not economic, and it will be shut in at some point. You know, you look at the current prices for many metals and many mines right now, the overall average cost of production, and this is the overall cost, it's not the new paradigm called the all-in sustaining cost, because as I pointed out in an article on the gold miners, there's always to manipulate those numbers. But that said, you know, a lot of mines aren't making money. They're losing money, and at some point they will shut down. I dare say that a lot of them continue to produce because it's cheaper than shutting the mine down and laying off, and termination costs of employees, reclamation costs, and quitting the mine. Those are significant costs. So in a lot of instances, we haven't gotten there yet, but certainly we have supply disruption. At some point, we will have supply destruction because there will be no money invested in new mines.
Well, certainly the belt tightening is continuing this round of quarterly earnings. We've heard from the big Canadian gold miners. You know, we've got dividends being slashed big time. We've got assets being put on the block. So certainly, they're seeing the times perhaps getting a little bit worse before they get better, and they're preparing for that. What's going to, do you think, reverse all this, Mickey? You know, sooner or later, the market's got to turn. This goes into cycle. You know, the resources have been down here before, and they will rise again. So what's going to prompt the turn, do you think?
Well, number one, I think we need a U.S. dollar that's weaker, or increased demand, or the supply-demand fundamentals really looking better. You know, they're, as you point out, miners are going to cut many money-losing operations over the next while. So that's going to be positive. Concerning gold, well, we have, in the short term, we have seasonal buying coming up. You know, the late Q3 into almost the end of Q4 from India and China and North America, the so-called festival season, love trade, wedding season right. in India, Christmas and the Christian part of the world. Those are certainly things that would make gold bounce some, you know, in the relatively short term. But in the long term, you know, let's look at it. We've got something on the order of 83 million more people on the planet every year. China is 1.4 billion people. They are one of the main consumers of gold and certainly all industrial metals. They've slowed, but they haven't stopped growing. Mm-hmm. But the real sleeping giant here, which not very many people talk about, is India. Mm. With almost 1.3 billion people projected to surpass China in 2025 as the world's most populous country, you know, with two-thirds of people still live in rural villages, significant number of those people, in fact, I dare say most, don't have electricity. They have a very high illiteracy rate at 25%, more illiterate people in India than any other part of the world. And the real demographic of importance here is 65% of the population is less than 35 years old. So you look at all that. One of six people in the world live in India, and it will be continue to become an emerging market country. And so I would dare say we would see the same sort of growth at some point in India economically that we've seen over the last 10 years in China. So ultimately, the world needs metals. There's more people, and to me, that's a bullish Mm-hmm. long-term view of metals.
Okay. In the meantime, Mickey, how should one play these markets?
Well, I'm a contrarian, so I'm buying precious metals on dips right now. In terms of stock equities, and especially the junior equities, you want to look for companies that are led by people who have been successful and have a contrarian view. Mm-hmm. You know, with these sort of markets, there's a fire sale on assets, so there are good assets available. You just got to make sure the companies that you choose have staying power, because no one quite knows how long this could last.
Okay, good way to wrap this one up, Mickey. We're going to get together prior to the end of August for one more shot at it before September comes around. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I think what we're going to do, we will take a look, kind of, we're now, what, 5.5 years into this show. We're going to take a look back and review what we've done both in the bull market where we started this and the ensuing bear market. We've now covered most of the periodic table mm-hmm. on the supply-demand fundamentals. We'll kind of review that. We've got a few stragglers, a few orphans out there we can fill some shows with coming up, and then we're going to kind of indicate where we'll go in the future on Mercenary Musings Radio.
5.5 years. It's felt like about a year and a half, Mickey.
Well, time flies when you're having fun, and we certainly had fun with this show and had a lot of fun in the metals markets, both during the bull and bear turns here.
Okay, well, good stuff. We'll reconnect in a couple weeks. Nice to talk to you, Mickey.
All right, good talk to you, Rob, always. Thank you.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.